Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it appears that this Russian lawyer does have some ties to the Democratic Party. We have to find out more about this, but the background evidence is out there, as I suggested yesterday. Good morning to you. It is the 14th day of July, halfway through, and we've been experiencing a little bit of rain, of course, but it's also been pretty hot, and it's going to continue on with that. Trump right now, he is over in France getting a big welcome over there, which I'm sure is a great break from watching his son get torn apart. We have been talking on the show about the show rolling into a Spanish format, or the possibility of saving the show, I'm not really talking about the show, I'm talking about the format. We've had some offers to give some financial support, and there's a few ideas out there that there could be some various ways to get some funding for the station, so that the station doesn't have to make a financial decision to go over there. So go over to what would be not just a different format, but a different language than a lot of the listeners to this show would speak. So it is being discussed as things stand right now. Within the next couple of months, this KOBE is due to become a Mexican music format. So there's another thing I want to talk about today, and I do want to tell you that I appreciate the feedback the day that I started talking about the show changing over and why it is a business decision. It doesn't have anything to do with what the owner wants, etc. I do appreciate the support. People had called the show and people who called afterwards. Now, I want to talk about something else that I find to be very strange, which is this developing or large phenomenon of people saying that they love animals more than people. I want to ask you why you think that there's an increasing number of individuals who say that, and it seems to be more among millennials, this kind of romanticization or sentimentality about animals. And also, if you can tell me why, which it would seem to be dissatisfaction and disillusionment with other people, why a lot of the people who say they love animals are actually, to interact with them, no different than an animal, or not terribly nice people themselves. My question would be, if you think that people don't treat you well or have not been nice to you in the past, why wouldn't you update your standards for interacting with people in the future? Why would you just, you know, kind of write people off and say that animals are the way forward? And I think a lot of these people will tell you, to the extent that they have any religious orientation, that there's going to be animals in heaven and favorite animals, favorite pooches and cats and various other critters are going to be up there. So anyway, let's get to a little bit on, and this is from yesterday, on the story of the Russian lawyer who is it just kind of a, in my opinion, this whole thing is weird. This whole thing is going to play out. Just my gut, like I was telling yesterday, this whole thing is going to play out at some point that this lady is in on somehow on the inside of some group of Democrats. She was around Washington. She was getting into stuff. She was at meetings she was able to get into the United States without a visa, which is strange because she didn't cross the border as far as we know. And there's just something that doesn't add up about this. This lady is, I don't know. There's something wrong with this story. And I just want to do a little bit of reporting on that for you. 523-1450 and 805-6180 for your text machine, which I have with me. I forgot to get your text yesterday, so we'll get yesterday's text and today's as well.
New details on how that Russian lawyer made it into the U.S. and was allowed to stay so long, and who she'd connected to. Here's Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge.
Court records and transcripts reviewed by Fox News show the Russian lawyer at the center of the Donald Trump Jr. emails was granted a special immigration status by the Obama administration Justice Department, as first reported by the Hill newspaper. Natalia Veselnitskaya was the lawyer for a Russian businessman, Denis Katsiev, accused by federal prosecutors of laundering hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate transactions. The government bypassed the normal visa process and gave a type of extraordinary permission to enter the country called immigration parole, the documents state. That's a discretionary act that the statute allows the attorney general to do in extraordinary circumstances. Democrats say Republicans may be overplaying their hand.
Clearly, someone in the United States government had to make an exception. And what we've learned, or what has been reported, is that that was granted in order to allow her to come to the United States, defend her client in a major international trial in New York. That seems like a reasonable use of the parole option.
After the June Trump Tower meeting with Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and then campaign chairman Paul Manafort, Veselnitskaya heads to Capitol Hill, where she can be seen in the background of this House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing. It's not clear what her immigration or parole status is at the time. Next week, one of the witnesses testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee says Veselnitskaya also ran a robust campaign to repeal the Magnitsky Act that levied sanctions on Russian officials implicated in the death of an anti-corruption investigator. Bill Browder says the Russian lawyer hired Fusion GPS, the same firm connected to the unverified anti-Trump dossier.
They took on a number of lobbyists, public relations people, and others, and one of the firms that they took on as part of this campaign to have Magnitsky Act repealed was a firm in Washington, D.C. called Fusion GPS.
The person who brought the dossier to the attention of Senator John McCain last fall, former British Ambassador Sir Andrew Wood, now emphasizes to Fox News that he could not vouch for the material. In an email exchange, Wood said, "I understood that its general contents were known to others in the United States." The senator then arranged for the papers to be brought to him. It was up to the senator to decide what action, if any, he took throughout the whole process.
Senator McCain's office did not immediately respond tonight, but in a January statement, McCain said he reviewed the dossier, could not make a judgment about its accuracy, and then passed the file to then-FBI Director James Comey. Grassley's office recently told Fox News the FBI has not responded to their request for more information, Brett.
Catherine, thank you.
All right, so in other words, this dossier, this totally made-up thing that was paid for by the FBI, apparently, was also given care and attention by the unhinged and probably senile John McCain. And this lady is very, very close to this dossier. This is totally bizarre. And of course, the media is going to cover this thing because the media is in love with killing Donald Trump's career. What other way would you describe it? I mean, it's just one thing after another, and it's, you know, it's infuriating that so many things happen, and even the Trump administration doesn't do anything about a lot of this stuff. So I don't know. Anyway, here's a little bit more. Obama Department of Justice allowed Russian lawyer into USA without visa.
Are sending Donald Trump Jr. a letter asking him to testify. Democrats and Republicans, we're told, want to question Trump Jr. about his meeting with a Russian attorney said to have ties to the Kremlin. We haven't seen any proof of that. And new details about how she, you see her on the left, got into the country in the first place. Was she here without a visa? What's going on with that? Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge now joins us live from the from Washington. Catherine?
Well, thank you, Harris. These court records confirm that the Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya, who's at the center of the Donald Trump Jr. emails, was granted a special immigration status under the last administration, and this was a fact first reported by the Hill newspaper. Parole is a discretionary authority that allows for the temporary entry of individuals into this country on a case-by-case basis for either urgent humanitarian reasons or for significant public benefit. In this case, it would have been her defense of a Russian firm in New York State. Democrats emphasized to Fox Today they believe this issue of the visa is overblown. 5 days after the Trump Tower meeting in June of last year with Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and then campaign chairman Paul Manafort, the Russian attorney came to Capitol Hill where she could be seen at a House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing on Russia. So it does seem that she came into this country for one reason, but then pursued other interests here.
So why would Congress be interested in this?
Well, next week, Senate Judiciary Committee, led by the Republican Chairman Chuck Grassley and the ranking member Dianne Feinstein, they're holding a hearing Wednesday on the Foreign Agents Registration Act, known as FARA, and that's lobbying on behalf of a foreign government with officials inside this country. And one of the witnesses had direct contact with a Russian lawyer. Part of her campaign to get some American legislation repealed, he said she hired a firm with connections. Now, this is a really interesting turn of events with that unverified anti-Trump dossier.
They took on a number of lobbyists, public relations people, and others. And one of the firms they took on as part of this campaign to have Magnitsky Act repealed was a firm in Washington, D.C. called Fusion GPS.
Fusion GPS was a fake. They were a fake. They were a fake thing. Former journalists, and they were put together to go after Trump.
GPS is directly tied to the dossier and this former British intelligence officer, Christopher Steele. A lot of the time we talk about it in our reporting as the Steele dossier. And Fusion GPS, which has resisted calls to go to Capitol Hill, will be testifying as well next week. So it's an interesting set of connections. What that means exactly at this point is not clear.
Well, that's the same dossier. I mean, basically the fake dossier that everybody talks about.
This is the dossier. I think what our viewers will probably remember is that back in March of this year, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, read huge sections of the dossier into the record about Paul Manafort, Carter Page, and others. And based on our reporting with those individuals directly, they have refuted the dossier. And a lot of that material has found not to be reliable. And just one last point, my colleague, senior executive producer Pamela Brown, spoke with another British intelligence officer who was involved. And he said he always felt the information had to be independently verified before it was deemed credible. So anyway, a lot of connections.
That there's nothing in that dossier that was true. It was completely fake, but it was still used against Trump. 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180. Your text line is burning up. Maybe the phones will burn up too. We're going to take a little taste of a champagne supernova, though, on our way into this break. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. So great to spend time with you this morning. Like I say, it's like being on death row here, but we're going to hang out and enjoy each other's company in the meanwhile.
Thank you. special people change? How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high? Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova in the sky.
All right, so I wanted to tell you about a story that there's a story out there about the head coach of the Patriots. What's that character's name? No, you're screaming at the radio, Bill Belichick. He's got a picture of him wearing a shirt, and the shirt says, in quotations, "It's a good day," and underneath and above it, on the right side, and these are kind of stick figures, a guy in a military outfit holding a gun. On the left side of the shirt is a little stick figure wearing a turban with a dog chewing on his arm. So what do you think about that? Caused a little bit of a stir. Let me see some more, a little bit of news for you. Judge changed the travel. You know, we are living in a time, you're wondering what the rule of law means. The rule of law means everything done by law as opposed to personality. And it was a kind of a new idea when the United States put their constitution together. But what you've got injected and invested in this age that we're living in is all of these people, including judges, you know, federal court judges, some of them that appear to be making decisions based on personal interest or pique or frustration or pushing back or tilting the scale, whatever you want to call it. You might say, well, that's always the way it's been. Well, I don't think it's always been this transparent. There's always been bias, but you have a rule of law to push back against bias. And it seems like there's a lot of people that are empowered out there to, and this is on every level. This is from judges and federal officials and, of course, media personalities and individuals working at newspapers that used to be called journalists. It's really extraordinary. And here's what I would say to you. Back off from a little bit whatever your political commitment is, whether it's Democrat or Republican, whether it's socialist or capitalist or any angle, any particular what they call a permutation, any version of these things, and step back a little bit. And, you know, what if major players in this game are mistaken? For example, what if socialism is a mistaken view of life? What if it brings in a lot more bad than it does good? And these people would be really, it would be like being in a hospital and somebody's on life support. Somebody's got a, you know, tubes running into their arms, and there's a person in there putting in little drops of socialism or little drops of infection. And, you know, you find for me a country in history that's survived and thrived off socialism, I will give you a year's supply of Eskimo pies. All right, let me get one or two more little. Well, here's Laura Ingraham, who was, I think she went to Yale. She's a smart lady. questions need to be answered about Russian lawyer Natalia. If you're in a movie and you meet somebody named Natalia, you're probably in a spy movie in trouble already. Here we go.
Welcome back to Hannity. So as the left continues their Russia collusion conspiracy hysteria, well, The Hill was the first to report that the Russian lawyer who met with Donald Trump Jr. last summer was allowed into the U.S. under, quote, extraordinary circumstances by, yes, the Justice Department and the Obama administration. Here with reaction, editor-in-chief, LifeZet, Fox News contributor, nationally syndicated rock star radio host, Laura Ingraham. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Sean.
Okay. Why did they let her in? Why did she get the special exemption? And she was supposed to have been out of the country by then. Is that a big deal?
Well, I think questions have to be asked. I'm glad Chuck Grassley and others are asking our immigration officials how this happened. It isn't all that unusual for people who are legitimate lawyers representing clients with interests in the United States to get access to this country. However, if in fact this woman is connected to the Russian government and is essentially acting as, you know, some type of Russian agent for the Russian government, then I think that's a different matter. But we don't know that yet. And I think it's really smart of Congress to get all of the documents, especially given what we know and what you've been talking about this Fusion GPS group that is a Democrat-funded organization that, of course, she worked with.
That's connected with the dossier. Yeah.
Right, connected with the dossier, which included all this supposedly damning information about Donald Trump. So we need all these questions answered. And I think before people go completely hysterical on the Donald Trump Jr. case, which, of course, is what cable is doing 24/7, at least ask these questions. I mean, this woman, you want to hang his supposed complicity with a potential collaboration with Russia to hurt Hillary Clinton, and yet there are lots of questions about who she really is and what interests she was representing vis-a-vis this Magnitsky Act, which froze the assets of certain Russian officials after the torture of Sergei Magnitsky in prison. So there's a lot of different pieces here. Yeah.
All right, so between the dossier issue, which is the Fusion GPS connection, and then you've got, of course, the influencing Obama trying to defeat Bibi Netanyahu. I thought it was bad to try and influence elections. But more importantly, all the evidence of Ukrainian involvement to support Hillary and a paid DNC staffer reporting back information after embassy meetings with the Ukraine ambassador. It seems like there's far more evidence, Laura. Nobody seems to pay attention to it but people like us. That, well, to me, is a far bigger story with more evidence.
I think, again, the congressional committees, which we keep hearing, Sean, are not going to be partisan in how they look at these issues. They're going to be play it straight down the middle. It's not going to be partisan. I keep hearing that from the Senate and the House side. Okay, if that's the case, then we need to get to the bottom of Ms. Veselnitskaya's immigration status, exactly what John McCain's connection to this dossier was. We want to get to the bottom of the leaks and whether leaks are coming out of the National Security Council, leaks are coming out of the FBI, leaks are coming out of course, from James Comey and how he delivered memos to his friends to deliver them to the New York Times. I mean, we want answers to all of this. If this is really going to be a comprehensive report on what happened and everything in the aftermath, then it better be comprehensive. But
well, I have one thing to say here. The Democrats have had the upper hand on this stuff for so long. They're the ones who point out corruption. They're the ones who go after it. And they're the ones who demand answers. And there's a whole lot of shaking going on in terms of Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Obama. There's so many different stories that are attached to this. We have to go to break, but I've got some local news for you. But excuse me. But you all know, whether you're Democrat or Republican, which side of the aisle you're on, that Donald Trump has been under an attack of ferocity almost unparalleled in history. And a lot of things have risen to the surface in the aftermath of that during this. And it's so much, I don't know if you want to call it corruption, but collusion within the government, within the media to get him And there's a lot of things that don't add up. And somehow Hillary and Obama and Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, all these people are somehow involved with this too. We don't know all the answers, but anyway, we got some local news. We'll be right back. 6:34.
You will find me carbonate in a champagne supernova. A champagne supernova in the sky.
All right, so is Donald Trump Jr. guilty of treason, perjury, or collusion? People will say that yes, that's true. But what are the facts? Now, Columbia Law is the guy that is the place that provided James Comey with a best friend who he helped leak documents into the media so that they could get this special investigator appointed. Now we have a Columbia Law professor, Richard Brifalt, explaining to MSC why Donald Trump cannot be guilty of these things. Check this out.
I mean, it's not clear. They may not be our friends. It's not clear they're an enemy. We're not at war. It's not clear this violates it's against the United States government. So I'm not up to treason yet.
So take tea off the table. How about the pee? Perjury definition. A person under oath states any material matter which he does not believe to be true would be constituted as perjury.
Well, with the possible exception of Jared Kushner's filing those forms to get his security clearance, I'm not sure any of this has been under oath yet. On those, there is, maybe it's not perjury, but there is a crime of lying to the U.S. government. But that would have to prove that he was sort of doing it knowingly falsely, and, you know, his claim is, well, I just forgot. So we're in the gray area there.
Okay. All right, well, can we just add then, the Time magazine currently has Don Jr. on the cover, but in their piece, they say that in the email chain between Don Jr. And the Russian the Russian intermediary, says Kushner maintains that he failed to read to the bottom of the email invitation to the meeting, so he didn't understand the Russian promise it contained. It was on the fourth page. Yet,
the subject line
says Russia, Clinton, private and confidential.
Well,
did that argument that he didn't scroll down hold any water?
It's irrelevant. The thing was that he was at the meeting and he didn't report having been at the meeting in his initial, as I understand it, in his initial filing to get the security clearance. So at the very least, he's corrected that. But, you know, there's some question about how knowing that was. So on perjury, no. Lying, the government, maybe.
All right. We have another one, false statements. And this is about a person knowingly and willfully making any materially false statement or representation within any of the three branches of government. This is obviously a lower standard. Does this fit in?
This relates to the filing for the security clearance. And I think it's a similar kind of question. It was a false statement. Did he know it was false or did he just forget? And it's been corrected. It may still affect whether he should have a security clearance, but it's not clear we're quite up there yet.
All right, Ali, bring up the phone sign.
Can I do my Kellyanne Conway sign? Can you see that?
In the Den of the Lion, MSNBC, and they've got a liberal professor, law professor, who's saying that none of this rises to anything. It's a nothing burger. The thing that is a big deal in this is that it comes out of this so close to this pro-fusion group. So, all right. Now, I've got a bail bondsman coming on, or somebody from the bail bondsman's office coming on next hour to talk a little bit about what's going on with bonds, which is kind of weird. Oh, you see this guy that got out on this bond and then was put back in actually by the people that are coming on the show. The guy that was reportedly had raped this lady. But so is there going to be a point when they stop trying to get the gotchas? I don't think so. They're going to continue to go after Trump, but each story is going to fall shorter and shorter. Now, here's the question. Is this a media creation itself?
Followed President Trump on his trip to France. He addressed his son's alleged involvement in the conspiracy at a news conference today. Watch.
I have a son who is a great young man. He's a fine person. He took a meeting with a lawyer from Russia. It lasted for a very short period, and nothing came of the meeting. And I think it's a meeting that most people in politics probably would have taken.
Congressman David Cicilline is a Democrat from the proud yet small state of Rhode Island, and he joins us tonight in studio. Congressman, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So you just heard a former CIA officer, who I think is a Democrat for whatever it's worth, saying, look, you know what, Russia doesn't have our interests at heart, which is obviously true, but let's be real. You can't not deal with Russia, and you can't denounce anyone who seeks to deal with Russia as a quisling, as a traitor to his country. So, like, will you be an adult on this?
Of course. Look, our relationship with many countries, including Russia, is complicated. I agree with the person you just had on, Brian, I think. But the reality is the point he made is an important one. It is a complicated relationship, but we need to understand the Russian government interfered in our presidential election. We should be serious about that. We should conduct the ongoing investigations. We should hold them to account. We should sanction them. We should make it clear, don't you ever do this again to America.
Look, I mean, like, how honest do we want to be here?
No,
like,
just
how many is Russia the first government to
interfere
in our election? No, I'm just asking. It's not.
I'm sure
so
it's not.
This,
we should be outraged by the time, at the time that any foreign government interferes in presidential elections.
I'm with you
and
there.
And the reality is, it is very important that the Russians understand by the way we were.
Who cares? A nothing burger segment. All right, let's get our weather here. 523-1450-805-6180. Kelly, let me dig into some text when we come back. What a great song, huh? Oasis.
Wake up the dawn and ask her why. A dream, she never dies. Wipe that tear away now from your eyes.
Okay, so this is one idea that somebody came up with to invest to save the format. We could have investment. People could pledge to give a certain amount a month. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who was saying that he listens to the show when he came by. And so we were talking, actually had to do with a case that he had, but he was in the office and so we ended up talking about this for a while. And he was saying, you know, there's some people out there that would be afraid to advertise on a show with, you know, a conservative message or a station because they don't want the repercussions of living in a town that's like 70-30, 70% liberal, 30% conservative, or, you know, 70 Dem, 30 Republican. I think it's 65-35, something like that. But he was saying, you know, you could do it personally or you could do it as a business. But I was thinking, for every person that supported the show that wanted to, I could just read their name every, you know, twice an hour, every company. You know, I don't know that, I don't believe that if somebody hears a business advertising on this station, they're going to go ape feces and I'm never going back there again. But that was one of the things that we had talked about. All right. So Kathy admitting she's addicted to CNN and she's going to try to step back. All right. Here's from yesterday. Kelly, you ran these people up and either detain or deport them, the illegals. I think after we get the train to El Paso going, serious thought should be given to a paddle wheel riverboat surface. That's good. Kelly, although he failed to get Hillary elected, he must be happy with the results of his 8 years in office. That's Obama. He was successful in gumming up the works. He filled America's engine with sand. Pierce will not win the governor's race, and his House seat will go Democrat. Okay. All right, here's, let's see, this is, okay. The problem with KOBE is that they don't diversify during the week. Your show should be on 2 days, then Spanish format, then another type. I don't know. I think if you hear Spanish on a station, you don't listen to that station anymore because you don't think that there's anything else on it, you know, unless you're a Spanish speaker. Hi, Kelly. I ran through both the AM and FM dials, and there are at least 15 Hispanic stations available on the air here. Obviously, some are from Juarez. Personally, I think Mike is on the wrong track. Mike, the owner. All right. So let's see. Hey, Kelly, take care of you first. We need to get great people like you to put Frankie and Kathy, with annoying voice. I think she was crying and she didn't get comfort when she was an infant. Get some rest and take care. Play your recording, Mike. Oh, yeah. The recording appears. Oh, hi, Kelly. How come you don't air your own playing the piano anymore? I took the piano home. I had stopped playing the piano on the air. And the piano that I had in here was had this great organ sound. You know what a Hammond B3 is? It's the sound of the organ in the 60s rock songs that kind of throbs. When I took it home, and I can't remember why I did. I think it was I wasn't playing because I got in a fight with Mike McKay because I played over the opening of the next show. But I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back next Monday. It was fun. If you get this, whatever, remember the word stand on it. This too shall pass. Remember where you've been. Trust him. Hey, keep do what I do. Start every morning with the 91st Psalm. When you stand on the Lord, it's always. Saying that there is still confusion in the court system as to what's going on.
Correct. It's still new for everyone. I sat in on several hearings. I've sat in at a lot of arraignments. And the confusion, I mean, while everyone gets used to it, it's still a lot of confusion in the courtroom. It's taken a lot of time to get through these hearings. And a lot of people, I believe, are getting released or not released because the process is still so new.
Okay. And so what you're saying then is that the law is not even necessarily being applied correctly in some of the places in New Mexico.
Well, it's not uniform throughout New Mexico. That's another big problem. Albuquerque, for example, has pretrial services, and we don't. They're trying to bring that here to our community, but it's we're kind of pushing that back.
What's a pretrial service?
Pretrial service is pretty much like probation before you're sentenced. So if you're going to be released without having to post a bond, but with pretrial services, you have to report to a pretrial services agency. You can have GPS monitoring put on you, drug testing. They require you to go to counseling, drug abuse counseling, things like that.
Okay. So what is the main problem that you have with the law?
With the law, the new law that's happening, I believe is that a lot of people are getting released on their own recognizance with no supervision. Basically, if you have ties to the community, you've lived here your whole life or you have a job here, the severity or the dangerousness of the crime or the charges are not really much of a factor.
Is that the way the law is designed now?
Correct.
All right. So I just saw that you guys pulled the bail on or you revoked the bond on somebody, the case where the young man was charged with raping that old woman. Would you mind explaining, since it's already been in the paper, what happened in that case?
Right. So, of course, we had posted his bond. The court set specific requirements, for him as well as our company. One of them was he was to reside in a specific residence with his girlfriend. Then he needed mental help. He went, obviously, to the Peak, like it says in the paper, and he was there for quite a while. During that time, we found out that the girlfriend that he was living with was a victim in a previous case. So he was not supposed to have contact with her. And so he was not allowed to be there. As well as being released from the Peak, he had nowhere to go. The Peak was just going to open their doors and let him out. His family couldn't take him in, obviously, and he had nowhere to go.
And, but he, I mean, he got his you revoked the bond because he didn't show up to court.
Right. He had also missed a restraining order hearing that he did not attend. So he missed court. There was that factor, of course. He'd missed that court. But our biggest fear was that they were just going to release him based on things that he vocalized to us. We were very worried.
All right. And I think this goes into something that's kind of interesting, is the role of the bondsman to keep track of and keep in line people on bond that you have on bond. Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, normally, with the way our company works is we don't post their bond, let them get out, and hope they show up to court. We maintain weekly contact with our clients. If they're more than welcome to call us 24/7, if they have any questions, you know, if they haven't heard from their court hearings, you know, a lot of people wake up at 2 in the morning panicked. They call us, but we maintain, I think our biggest thing is we maintain a relationship with them. They feel like they can come to us if they need something. But we make sure that they're getting to court. We make sure they're meeting with their attorneys and keeping us updated with their address changes and phone number changes, and most importantly, getting to court.
Okay. All right. So you wanted to come on the show today to express what to people?
I want to express the fact that these new changes were voted into place by the public. So, you know, be careful what you're voting for. Look into it if you don't understand it. It's not the judge's fault. They're following the new Supreme Court rules. And the bail bonds companies, the bail bondsmen also, we're just trying to do our job. You know, we're trying to help the community. We're not the big bad bail bondsmen.
Right. And so when people have called you up and expressed frustration to you guys?
Well, yeah, most of the time, you know, we see it on Facebook a lot. And they're saying that, you know, we just take anyone out of jail because we'll get the money for them. And we don't care about once they get out, we just let them run the streets, you know, back onto the streets with the community, you know. And that's not the case. We try our best to weed out who we believe is safe enough to be on the streets, of course, too. And if they're not, we can obviously take them back off the streets.
All right. So one last question. Do you think the law needs to be changed or will be changed in the future?
I think there needs to be some changes to it. I'm not happy with the way it is, and I'm hoping that it will change. I think the way it's going now, it's really going to be detrimental to everyone involved, including the public defender's office. They're already overburdened, as well as the courts.
We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
This is Dave.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, go ahead.
Kelly, I just heard some real disturbing news that you're going to be off the air in a couple months.
Well, all right. So the plan is the station is struggling financially because there's not enough people buying advertisements. The listenership's there, but the business community is not really investing in the station. And so as a business decision, they have decided to roll it over into Spanish language.
Well, okay, what's our alternative so we can hear people like you on the air?
Well, the alternative is there's a couple. I mean, the number one is to go to cable or whatever, go to a satellite. But the other alternative would be to get enough investors in town to keep the format here, because obviously it's not really about me. It's about the format. It's about the spoken word, whether you have, you know, Dave Ramsey or Glenn Beck or Hannity, whoever it is, coast to coast kind of programming that's absolutely unique, and it's an idea-driven format, and it's a part of American life, and it's going to be gone from this community. Now, there could be some private investors. There could be individuals who've already told me that they would like to invest in the show and, you know, businesses. If we got some support, if we kind of rallied the troops and got some regular investing, we could keep it. But, you know, from what I've seen, the business community enjoys the format but doesn't want to invest in it.
Well, then they're going to lose it. But, okay, well, I'll do what I can to try and rally the troops and stay in touch with Ben Ross and see what he thinks and the Republican Party. And
well,
I'll do the best I can.
All right, but remember, the Republican Party for 6 going on 7 years has never contacted me one time. Republican Party is like a petrified fetus in this county.
I know. I went to the last Republican Party meeting at La Posta, and I think I shook them up. But I certainly pissed them off, some of them.
Well,
but,
I think they're about as interested in me as the Unabomber. But thanks for the call, Dave.
All right. Thank you, Kelly.
Bye-bye. All right. So we're talking about bail, and we're concluding this story. Lisa Gonzalez was nice enough to come in and talk on behalf of the Dario Gomez bail bond. So concluding thoughts. I mean, what should people have in mind with the bail industry and the controversy and the, you know, misinformation and everything?
Well, of course, if you have any questions, always feel free to stop by, talk to us, give us a call. Our numbers, you know, all over the place. We'll answer any questions you have. We'll explain anything that we can to you. You see us walking around the courthouse, feel free to stop us and talk to us. But we're here to help. We're trying to do our job. Everyone has a job to do, and that's exactly what we want to do. We want to make this judicial system work. We're part of it. We all need to work together, I think.
Yes, work together, as Canned Heat used to sing about. Thanks for coming on, Lisa.
Thank you, Kelly.
All right, folks, we'll take a break here with some more delicious champagne supernova, and we'll be right back. I got great stuff for you coming. Okay, so we've been talking about saving the format. You know, another thing I could do, which I used to do with Canada Free Press out of Toronto, was I did a radio show for them before I did this show for a couple of years. And, I mean, we could redo that here in town, but it's not the same thing, you know, picking it up over the airways. Now, on the alternative, a lot of stuff is coming to people through the internet and through podcasts, and, you know, podcasts, a fancy name for an internet broadcast. So, and I do internet broadcast every day anyway. So, but, you know, I mean, most people, there's something special about turning on the radio and having it directly come in, a sense of immediacy. All right. So I have got, oh, sorry, all right, I got two things for you. I want to replay a clip that I played a couple of days ago because I thought it was so spectacular. It really lays out the outline of leftism well. But here's Nancy Pelosi giggling about North Korea aggression. She really should consider retiring or dropping out of the leadership, but for the good of her party. The other thing I want to talk to you about is animals. This strange phenomenon that I see, that I don't see it as touching and comforting. I see it as alarming, the number of people who say, I like animals, I don't like people. Number one, what does that say about the society? Number two, where are we headed? And number three, what does it say about the people that come up with this stuff? You know? Here's Nancy.
Kids, to be part of the arts, to be part of a drama club, a band, a choral group, it's a very positive thing. They want to join something, especially in middle and school and high school and the rest. And it's a force for good. The poet Shelley once said, the greatest force for moral good is imagination. Imagination, of course, to be creative, but imagination to put yourself in other people's shoes, to share experiences. I think we should view the arts in that way. Yes, sir.
The poet Shelley was absolutely nuts, but be that as it may.
Kim Jong-un's been celebrating their ICBM launch with some cultural.
She's covering her lips with her teeth with her lips like an ape laughing.
Seems to be on the verge of being threatened now by North Korea's missile program. Do you have confidence in the administration's approach on handling this issue? And if not, what do you think that they should change it up?
Well, let me just say that I'm one of the few members of Congress who's been to Pyongyang, to the capital. Many members have been to Panmunjom.
Should have stayed there, you nutcake, you fruitcake. All right, so we'll take time for a little bit of local news. And we're going to come back and talk about two things. Number one, this clip that I have for you on the outline and really the intellectual insolvency of socialism. Far leftism. Not the kind of thing that the gentle listeners of this program would support, be Democrat or Republican, but also the question, what in the devil is going on with animal rights and people's passions as we become less and less logical? Are animals going to get raised to the level of people? Is it going to be beneath the Planet of the Apes? We'll be back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, it's Dave again.
Round three, what's
couple
up?
Thoughts.
What?
I'm depressed because I hear you're going off the air, but you know, I have a question. Do you think that the left, a leftist, would sooner save an animal than save a child? Do they
yes.
believe in abortion?
They
when they have all
abortion.
These animal clinics popping up all over the place.
They believe and, in a, they believe in abortion. We're not in the air, so you want to save it?
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's
Dave,
really, but you
Dave,
might want to bring it up, but here
Dave,
is something that doesn't have to go
Dave,
on the air, but I've
David,
been toying with the idea of
David,
getting a publication going
David,
in Las Cruces that's a conservative
David,
publication.
David, I've said your
yes.
name 10 times in a row. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Sorry.
No problem. It's one of the hazards of being a radio talk show host. Let me put you on pause. Let's say it on the air because I think it's interesting.
Sure.
Okay. It'll probably be it'll be 2 minutes. Okay. You just got to be a little bit patient. I haven't hung up on you. You're just on hold.
Okay. I'll hold.
Thanks, David.
You bet.
All right, so I've got the question out there for you, and I've got a caller on the line. The question that I have for you, you know, in the ancient world, there was worship of animals. There was a lot of things going on with animals, and through history, we decided that humans had a higher moral value than animals. And we've got Dave on the line. And David, you're wondering if a person was on the left, if they would rather save an animal than a baby.
Absolutely. You know, I just wonder if I see all these animal clinics popping up and how much money people are spending on animals. I wonder if the animals that aren't spayed or neutered, a fetus of an animal, when they're so easily wanting to abort a human fetus, to me, the balance is swayed way in the wrong direction. I mean, I love animals. I actually wrote a book about raising a bird that I raised from a hatchling. I have rabbits coming to my back door.
Was it
a human being?
Was it a turkey that was later put on the table?
No, it wasn't. I actually taught the bird how to fly. It was a starling that landed in my lap almost, and I raised it. And I love animals, but I don't know how you can compare a human life to an animal life. It seems like the scales have moved in the wrong direction, way in the wrong direction.
The scales and the feathers have moved in the wrong direction. So what do you think what can we do to return some logic and sanity to the society in terms of this idea that animals are on the same level as people?
I think people have to wake up and really look in the mirror and say, what are you doing? You know, this is a human life. There is no doubt whatsoever. It's a human life. Believe that at the time of conception is when there's a human life there. So I just don't understand. It's just beyond my ken to try and grasp it. And I want to shake people and say, what are you talking about?
So do you think, I'll just ask a question that some people may have brought to mind. Is there a connection between believing in a deity and thinking that humans are different and better than animals, or at least superior in some moral sense?
Well, I guess you could say that, but what about, I'm sure there's atheists out there too that don't believe in abortion. And I guess religion is definitely a part of it, but I don't think it's always a part of it. And I just have to say that I'm so glad my mom didn't believe in abortion, because I know raising five kids back in the 50s was a tough job with one income.
Yeah. Okay. So for people who consider animals to be not just on an equal level with people, but preferable, what would you say to those people? How would you challenge them?
Well, I'd have them look at their children if they have any. I'd have them think about what if their parents felt the same way. They wouldn't be here to argue with us.
That's true. I don't know if that's going to convince anybody.
I don't think it will. I really don't know what the answer is. It's like, wake up, folks.
Yeah, well, the answer is, where is the squirrel Aristotle? where is the, you know, lizard Jesus? I mean, it's absurd to put animals on the same level, even though we love them and care for them and we don't want to harm them. Got another call, David. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
That is so bogus. Human beings are no more or less important than any other animal or species on this planet.
All right.
All this nonsense.
Okay,
about
All right. Don't demagogue me here. So I have a I've got a boat, and everybody, you know, there's a hole in the boat, and you know, I can only grab a few things. I can either grab you and put you in the life raft, or put my guinea pig in the life raft, and I choose the guinea pig over you. You end up drowning. What's your reaction?
Oh, good grief! Don't give me that kind of excuse.
I'm asking you. It's off the wall because look who I'm talking to.
Oh, give it up already. You know, let's stay on the subject. This problem
that
is everybody's thinking because it is religion that thinks they're so important, that they're so, you know, whatever that word is, they sanctify, consecrated. Thank you very much. Oh, look at me. I'm more important than anything else on this planet. I'll guarantee you, if you didn't have bees and bugs and birds and everything else, you'd be in deep doo-doo. I'll tell you that.
But
including Dave.
Frankie, I want to know if you had a choice. You're in a situation. You could save either a human being or an animal. You save the animal. Should that person who made that choice, should they be prosecuted?
I don't understand. If I save the animal and I get arrested for that?
You save the animal instead of the person. You have time to grab, let's say there's a fire. You can either grab your favorite poodle who's been with you for 10 years, or you can grab your brother or whatever. You decide to grab them.
No, see, this is where I wouldn't have a Hobson's choice or something. I would be, because I am a learned liberal, I would be able to figure out in advance how to save both. You see? So that's not even a consideration.
In other words, you refuse to answer the question that would tend to damn your position.
Of course I'm not going to answer it. It's an unanswerable question. I'm not going to find myself in that position because I'm a superior thinking, learned liberal. I'm not going to wind up myself in that position. So it's not a question I have to worry about.
In other words, you don't have any answers. You just have your little pet theories. No pun intended.
What?
No pun intended. Your pet theory. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say. I mean, you conservatives throw out all these wild example things, which are so far off the deep end.
Uh-huh.
It's insane. It's insane. And instead of talking about Nancy Pelosi, which she's great, by the way, she is so great. Why don't you talk about your boy, Cheeto Von Tweedo, and then talking about the president of France's wife, and then that physical faux pas, ignorant comment.
Wait
that he
a
made.
Second. The guy's wife is 80, and Trump said she doesn't look bad.
You don't say that. You don't say, I mean, the guy is totally without savoir faire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, Frankie, you called up and you left more questions than you've answered.
Well, I guess this is one of the reasons I love the format, to be able to get you conservatives to think about something else except ignorance. What do you think of that?
That's very thoughtful of you. Thanks a lot, Frankie. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's really nice of him to take some time away from his baby bottle full of Courvoisier to straighten us out. A little weather for you. All right, here's a little clip from Prager University, Are Humans More Valuable Than Animals? I'm not going to get to that other clip today. There's not enough time to digest it, but check this out. And this is Dennis Prager.
Are you more valuable than a dog? or a cat, or for that matter, a tree? One of the biggest differences between Judeo-Christian values and secular values concerns this very issue, the worth of the human being. According to the Judeo-Christian value system, human beings are infinitely valuable. On the other hand, secular humanism devalues the worth of humans. As ironic as it may sound, the God-based Judeo-Christian value system renders humans infinitely more valuable than any humanistic value system. The reason is simple. If there is no God, human beings are only material beings, and therefore not worth anything beyond the matter of which they are composed. But in the Judeo-Christian system, human beings are created in the image of God, meaning that human life is sacred. In other words, we are either created in the image of carbon atoms and therefore not worth much more than carbon, or we are created in the image of God and therefore infinitely valuable. Our secular post-Judeo-Christian society has rendered human beings less significant than at any time in Western history. First, the secular denial that human beings are created in God's image has led to humans increasingly being equated with animals. That's why, over the course of 30 years of asking high school and college students if they would first try to save their dog or a stranger, two-thirds have always voted against the person. They either don't know what they would do, or they actually vote for the dog. Many adults now vote similarly. Why? There are two reasons. One is that with the denial of the authority of higher values, such as religious teachings, people increasingly make moral decisions on the basis of how they feel. And since just about everybody feels more for their dog than for a stranger, many people simply choose the dog. The other reason is that once you get rid of Judeo-Christian values, there's no reason for elevating human worth over that of an animal. That's why people estranged from Judeo-Christian values, including many Jews and Christians, support programs such as Holocaust on Your Plate. Holocaust on Your Plate is a campaign developed by the animal rights group People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, that teaches that there is no difference between the barbecuing of chickens in America and the burning of Jews in the Holocaust. Why? Because a human and a chicken are of equal worth. So too, in a notorious Tucson, Arizona case, a woman screamed to firefighters that her three babies were in the burning house. Thinking that the woman's children were trapped inside, the firefighters risked their lives to save the woman's three cats. If you think these two examples are either just theoretical, the dog stranger question, or extreme, the Tucson mother of cats, here's an issue that is neither theoretical nor extreme. More and more people believe, as PETA does, that even if it would lead to a cure for cancer or AIDS, it would be wrong to experiment on animals. In fact, many animal rights advocates believe that even to save a human life, it would be wrong to kill a pig to obtain a heart valve. The 20th century showed vividly what happens to human worth when Judeo-Christian values are abandoned. Nazi Germany and the various communist regimes all rejected Judeo-Christian values and ended up slaughtering the largest number of people in human history. For Nazism, Jews and members of other non-Aryan groups were declared worthless and murdered in the millions. For communists, human worth was determined solely by communist parties, which murdered tens of millions of people. Only by rejecting Judeo-Christian values could Nazis declare Jews, Slavs, and others subhuman. And only by rejecting Judeo-Christian values could communist regimes slaughter those they called class enemies. Individual human life meant nothing. Meanwhile, human slavery was abolished only in the Judeo-Christian world. And of course, for nearly all those who reject Judeo-Christian values, the human fetus is worthless, if its mother deems it so. Finally, there is an increasingly vocal part of the environmentalist movement that also denigrates human worth. For these individuals, the human being is not infinitely precious. Trees and rivers and mountains are. So, are you more valuable than a dog or a cat or a tree? That depends on your value system. I'm Dennis Prager.
So I was reading this book. I've got this great book on liberalism. And it talks about the history of basically the modern era that I think that would be, some would say, started with Hobbes. Thomas Hobbes, the Leviathan, the whale. The government is the whale. The government, the government that is the whale is going to protect us, because the one thing that he was afraid of was violent death, which I mean, I guess means that those are violent days. But what he put in his, excuse me, in his philosophy, I'm still kind of struggling with this cold that I had a long time ago. That so kind of, I'm much better, but just a little effects of it. I do apologize, but he stated it is your passion or your basically your tastes. What you consider to be good is good. And so what you've got is an application of this in this situation right here, which is that I consider animals to be the equal of people, and you can't disprove that. You know? So everything in this society is based on, you know, they're either the utility, whatever you get out of something, that's what gives it worth, or your passion. And this idea that there's this established, there's this revealed order that came down to us through 2,000 years of people studying the Bible and building up the society and having standards. It's like those things are gone and we're kind of falling back into the dark ages. So I think, I'm horrified when people say not people that say I like animals better than people. That could be a reaction to being mistreated, which I understand. There's a lot of people, especially these days, with these ideas out here. I mean, if a person says that I like people, or I like animals better than people because they've been mistreated, how is that person going to treat other people? And I mean, isn't that just going to, instead of fixing the problem, isn't that going to add to the problem? I mean, realistically speaking. So, I don't know. I just, when I hear people say, I think animals are the equal or more important than people, I'm horrified. Island of Dr. Moreau stuff, you know, but here's another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, good morning, Kelly. It's Art.
Hey, Art. Good morning to you. And what's on your mind?
Good morning. Well, I've just been thinking about the animal issue. You know, I had a couple of things to say. You know, I think it's all fine and dandy to be concerned about extinct species that are on the verge of extinction. And that's, I think it's, you know, we need to have a reasonable approach to that.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, with science and technology, I mean, we're going to have a dodo bird running around one of these days. Someone's going to take some DNA out of one of those boxes in the Smithsonian and make a dodo bird.
Well, from what
it's not panic about extinction.
Art, from what I understand, we just lost a dodo bird in D.C. recently, but
no, they didn't get rid of Nancy, did they, while I was sleeping? anyway, it was really hilarious listening to Frankie a while ago, and I think, you know, without your show, he's just going to explode. The guy's just going to blow up. But anyway, the other thing is, I've noticed this dog thing. You know, people are getting to where they bring their dogs everywhere.
And Art,
I saw a guy.
Art, I just want to say something real quick, because we have a lady that calls up all the time. I saw a dog in Walmart, and you know, the horror of it. What I'm concerned about, I'm out walking and a person has a dog and it's not on a tether, and the dog starts walking towards me, and the same conversation every single time: sir, does your dog bite? No, my dog's harmless. And then the dog is like a member of my family, and I feel like saying, I don't care about your family. I'm trying to avoid getting bit.
Right. They're going overboard with this thing. And this equating human life to animal, to, you know, other animal life. You know, it's an easy way out to love a dog, to love a cat. When you have kids, adolescents, teenagers, you really have to work. Your virtue, the virtue in your heart has to grow into that.
That's a great point.
You never have to do that with an animal.
That's a great point. So people are avoiding evolving and growing as human beings to adapt to other human beings by taking refuge in animals because the bar is not very high with a poodle or a cat.
Exactly. That's my point, exactly.
Great call.
Thanks a lot, Kelly.
Great call, Art. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend. All right, folks, we're almost out of time here. No time for a comedy today, but maybe that's just as well. Thanks for tuning in. Really enjoyed it hanging out with you as always. And for you pooch lovers out there, I feel you, but beyond a pooch as a human being, hope you have a good weekend. Enjoy the rain. Hopefully there's going to be some rain. I'll take you out here with some Oasis Champagne Supernova. It's the weekend. You can have a little tipple here. Meet you back in 2 days. Kelly O'Connell, A.M. Lester, this is Chow.
Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball, where we were getting high. Thank you.